And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 197. Welcome. My name is Silas Lindenstein, your host today for the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Black and a Half. Probably. We probably are. Hey, today is a little mini episode. Samantha's, you saw she was back last episode, but I got some interviews that can only happen during the day. And I wanted to get this, need to get this out today because the film opens this weekend. Writer and director of the film Alice, Kristen Verlinden, is my guest today. Got to do a little interview with her, a little 15-minute interview, and so I wanted to put that out on here. Alice, it's let me read you the description. It just actually played recently at the Sundance Film Festival. That's where it got its premiere, which is a pretty wonderful place to premiere a movie your first time. It's her first feature film. The story, Alice, an enslaved person yearning for freedom on a Georgia plantation, escapes through the woods and stumbles through time into the year 1973. After she meets a disillusioned political activist, she confronts the lies that kept her enslaved. So, you should look at the preview for it. That when you see the trailer, it's not a surprise as much. I thought it was a time travel movie. Thought it was a special sci-fi thing. It's actually based on true events that happened, which is appalling. I looked it up. In 1960, they discovered a woman on a plantation who was her family was enslaved. Still, 1960, they had no idea that it wasn't legal. They were told they were in debt. They were beaten by the slave owners if they tried to escape. It's appalling. Up to 1960, that happened. I think the reason I thought it was sci-fi is just I was like, this can't be possible that it would happen modernly. So a movie takes place in 1973. Opens up more in just in the slave sense. You know, something is off. Something is off. It's not a spoiler. It's what the film's about. And it's important. It's important to know that. Folks, you will you enjoy this interview. Kristen is very she's charming and funny with which I'm saying is farming, I think. She's a farming director and writer, and I really enjoyed talking with her about this film, which the review is up now on blackandahalf.com. You can go there and read that review and see what I think. I gave it a love it. I'll tell you that. Spoiler alert. Really enjoyed the film. Rotten Tomatoes early reviews are not the best, but as you know, I tend to not side with a lot of like these weird critics who don't seem to like good films. They like boring films. I don't know. I don't know what's with it, but I am the critic for the people. I like to say I am the critic of the people. I like entertaining films. I like films that do make you think. I think you can trust me at this point, right? You saw the movies that I suggest versus other critics. And sometimes we align, right? Like Batman. The Batman, everyone seemed to like that. So we align sometimes. But most of the time, if the critics don't like it and I do, you should go with me. Because I'm right. Correct? Okay. Next week, hoping we can get a recording with Samantha in a little bit. I got another interview from a local Seattle filmmaker. He has a new movie coming out next week. I was going to put him out this week, but with Alice coming out, had to move some things around. So I'm sorry if you're listening, my friend, Seattle filmmaker of Brown Town. Okay. We are here. We're ready for this episode. I'm not going to do all my usual promotions, but if you want, I do need to say thank you to our Patreon supporters, especially Tara Weiner, Stefan Ward, and Keith Nagel. They are Inner Circle members. And of course, if you too want to become a Patreon supporter, you can go to patreon.com/blackandahalf and join there for as little as $1 a month. Anyway, I'm not going to plug stuff. We're just going to get right to this interview. So please open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode 197, Kristen Verlinden.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Hello. Hello, Kristen.
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
I like your background.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Black and a Half, we're the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle.
It's very, very cool.
Yeah. You're pretty cool. you've written a really cool film.
Oh, thank you.
I got a chance to see a screener of it, and I want to admit, the first time I saw the trailer, I misunderstood the trailer. I'm a big sci-fi guy, and so I was assuming there was a twist on it. And I think part of it is after I saw the film, I again watched the trailer and saw inspired by a true event.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was so unfathomable to me that it could be inspired by a true event that. Mm-hmm. And then I went and looked it up and learned about this May there.
Uh-huh.
This is shocking. Like, is this a story that you knew a long time ago?
No, my mom, you know how parents are, like when you even are a writer, painter, anything, they try to give you ideas or their own little stories. So my mom was always sending me her little pitches of things here and there, articles. And usually they didn't pan out, but with this one, she'd sent me an article and it was insane. And then I did a deep dive and found a bunch of stories and it blew me away. So within probably 48 hours, I was off writing Alice.
Wow.
I couldn't, but you can't help yourself.
Yeah. Oh, it's shot. I've been telling my neighbors about the true event. Like I said, I just watched this movie based on this. They won't even one neighbor absolutely could not believe that happened. Like I was like, yeah, I think that's what's shocking about this. Is this this is your first feature, right? Mm-hmm. Or big time feature.
First feature.
Right into Sundance. Is that exciting for your first swing?
If Sundance were in person, no, I'm kidding. No, it was exciting, but it was, Sundance took place in my house.
Virtually. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'd been to Sundance before, not as having a film there, and it's amazing and magical and social and all of the things that come with a festival.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It was interesting to have it online, and I'm so grateful. And Sundance is a institution that, as a little kid, you love it. You look up to it.
Yeah.
And so it was a great gift and a great honor. And but it felt like, I've just spent a lot of time inside. So yeah. feel any different, yeah, you know?
That's true.
So that, because, you know, when I first found out we were going to Sundance, you know, they tell you what theater it's going to show on and what day. And I found out it was going to be an Eccles Theater. And so as a filmmaker now, and as a the little girl in me that wanted to be a filmmaker, I like cried that night when I found out it was going to play at Eccles. And then when you realize it's not going to happen, it's playing your TV in your living room. It's just different. But, you know, that's part of COVID and being safe. So I totally.
It's our new world.
Yes. The new normal.
Whatever that is. Was this shot during COVID?
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
And it's not only shot during COVID, it was during the beginning. It was in that summer.
Oh, when we still weren't sure. Yeah.
And prep was in June, July, and August. So that was when it was like the dark ages where no one knew how you could get it, you know, how long it was going to last.
Right.
Everyone was getting it. All the hospitals are filled. So it was daunting. And one of our assistants tested positive. So during prep, a week before shooting, we shut down.
Wow.
And I didn't know if we were going to come back. And so we came back in September to shoot. We had 1 week of prep in September, and then we were off to the races. But there was always that over looming, you know, Dionysus like godlike figure, or Shiva, knowing that it all could be destroyed in one positive test. <Yeah. laughs> So every morning, you know, like, there would be a line, the cast and crew would have to line up to get tested. And it would kind of be like one of those things like, okay, who's gonna like bring the ship down? I don't want to be the one to bring it down. So luckily everyone didn't test positive. Good. And we made it.
No, thank goodness. I got to ask you, right next to you, you have this poster, The Day That Earth Stood Still. So I want to know about this. Is that, it's got to be a reason you chose this as your background, right?
Well, I was gonna do it in my living room downstairs, but then my mom's in town and she's on the phone, so I didn't like.
Well,
I
want. Is that your move? Is that a office. Big movie for you?
This is my office, so I have like mini posters everywhere.
Special meanings? Or
I mean, it's just a nostalgic movie from when I was a kid that I love very, very much. Okay. And then, you know, people, there's a weird irony, I guess, because I'm the movie I made and the movies I want to make, to have a John Wayne movie behind me. But I also have like the Misfits, you know, the Clark Gable. But I'm just a movie nerd. So, and I collect foreign posters. So although I love Rio Bravo,
they're interesting. I find it fascinating how different the other countries' posters are.
Sometimes. I know, they're really cool. So I love the Japanese poster for Rio Bravo.
So have you always been a storyteller?
Yes. And screenwriting, you know, didn't cost money. So as a little girl, it's free to write screenplays. But also growing up, I wanted, from the time I was like 7, I wanted to be a director. So like my heroes, I was obsessed with David Lean. I was obsessed with Sam Peckinpah, Sergio Leone, Andrei Tarkovsky, Akira Kurosawa. Those are like Mount Rushmore. They were like gods. And so
were your parents in the business or?
No, you know, well, my uncle was a boxer in the 70s and he broke Muhammad Ali's jaw. And so he had like his little historical imprint, but then he became a blaxploitation actor.
Okay.
So there was always that point of reference. Like every summer we would stay at his house and that's who I ended up moving down with to initially live in LA. But no, like my grandparents loved film. So they kind of embedded that in me, but I think I was just born. It was just in me. Like, I loved movies more than anyone else in my family. They didn't really understand why I wanted to go watch Turner Classic Movies in my room and for the whole weekend. And
you're like my soulmate, I swear to God. I think it was, okay. Then, what do you remember the first story you've ever wrote or created, filmed, whatever?
I do, but it's going to be weird because it wasn't one that I created. I decided to read, it was, I was probably, well, technically in second grade, my first like book was this thing called The Dragon that like my mom actually had like a hard copy made. So I still have that. But like the first movie, because I got into like novels and stuff, but my first like screenplay was I adapted Suspicion. So I did my adaptation of Hitchcock's Suspicion and I recast it.
So what didn't you like about his casting? What did you fix?
Oh, well, no, I just in my head, it was like if I had to cast it today, yeah, who would put in it? And, you know, I was a little girl.
Right.
So I was probably, this is like fifth grade. So I remember George Clooney was Cary Grant, of course. So it was like, yeah, people that were popular then, mm-hmm, I cast in it. So
that's a good game. I like that game. The idea, yeah, of recast it, yeah, today.
It taught me how to write just from watching movies. That's how I taught myself how to write.
That's wonderful. Hey, the first time someone comes on our show, because sometimes they stay for a while and they talk a while, but this is like a mini episode. We have 7 questions that we like to ask people to get to know them. Okay. It's the Black and a Half world famous 7 questions.
Okay.
Okay, so here they are. Number one, I mean, you kind of answered it, but what are you most nerdy about?
Movies. Mm-hmm. Okay. And history.
Oh, okay. So this is that
rubs off. Napoleon on my arm. So history.
Okay. What's on your arm?
Napoleon.
Oh.
Yeah.
It fit there. Okay. Number two. What's something that you love to eat?
Beyond Burgers.
Beyond Burgers. Okay. Vegetarian. Yeah. Are you vegetarian?
Yes.
Okay. Number two, what's something that you love to drink?
Ooh, water. I'm kidding. kombucha.
Really?
Yes.
You are a brave soul. That,
it's so good.
It was shocking. That was a shocking drink. I did not expect it when they gave it to me. I think I need to try non-sample in the grocery store.
Yeah, try kombucha. A proper bottle of it.
Yeah.
Like GT's brand. GT's? Will ease you in.
Okay. Number four, what kind of music do you love?
All kinds. From I'm a music nerd too, so anything from like the Turtles, the Troggs, the Associations, like 60s music, like white 60s music, black 60s music, Motown, to hip-hop, you know, and everything in between, alternative, so everything. And a little country like Dolly Parton never did me wrong.
Look, we can never fault Dolly for anything. Yeah, exactly. She'll exactly creep into any list. What do you love to create?
Stories. And paint. I'm a painter too.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Get into more of that next film. What's a game you love to play?
Probably Pictionary.
Pictionary?
Yeah, that's a fun game.
As an artist, you like, mm-hmm, you like the, do you like guessing more, or do you like,
I like the pen?
Okay.
Although I like guessing a lot. And I like the, you know, who you're teamed up with, you're forced to work with that person.
I love putting together people that don't know each other.
That's the cool part.
I get so mad when you get people that have been together and they draw a line and they go like, "Oh, Yankee Stadium, Yankee Stadium."
Exactly.
What? No.
It's good when you put a bunch of, like, when it's a big group and, yeah, you pair the least likely people to even like each other together.
Yeah. Okay, and last question for the seven questions.
Yes.
In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, mm-hmm. what do you want to be remembered for?
Speaking the truth. My truth. Yeah.
Are you speaking the truth with this film?
I am.
What's that truth?
You know, within the context that I didn't have director's cut. But yeah, I am. The truth is that it doesn't matter what society, what beliefs are imposed on you. What matters is your self-belief and not letting anyone define you on their terms, but on your own terms. And that individuality is actually the currency of why we all are here, you know. If we're all the same, what's the point? So that's
an awesome truth. I love that.
Thank you.
Kristen, your film opens in a few days. I think it's a very powerful film. It definitely affected me because I any film that can get me talking to people about, especially about its origins on what it is. I mean, because I was not allowed to say too much until tomorrow about it. But what I could tell people, I'm like, check out the trailer. You're going to want to see this. I'm really excited for it. And
awesome.
If you have a director's cuts, you can email that to me.
I don't have. It's on. It's,
ever.
It's in a vault somewhere.
Someday. You'll get that.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You're awesome.